Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, concerns over a lack of Garda resources in Donegal is feared to be leaving border areas vulnerable. Agriculture Minister Michael Creed is urging Donegal farmers who have been accepted onto the GLAS scheme to submit their nutrient management plans as quickly as possible. The Finance Minister has blamed Sinn Féin for the delay in refunding water charges. And the issue of oil spills on the roads in West Donegal is back on the agenda. Stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first in news, it's envisaged that up to 400 jobs will be created in Donegal as a result of the new local enterprise development plan, which is being published next week. The county's head of enterprise, Michael Tunney, says that's a realistic target over the lifespan of the plan between now and the year 2020. The plan envisages to encouraging and developing small start-up businesses in the county. Mr. Tunney is confident that once the plan is implemented, the job targets will be achieved.
Well, that's the objective, critical objective for the local enterprise offices and the enterprise development plans, as prescribed by our department and government, is that we very much are focused on job creation, and obviously we do that through working with our Indigenous businesses in Donegal. And the targets are set based on past record and track record of the business performance in the county. And thankfully, over the last couple of years, on the annual employment survey, we've had very positive outputs. I think last year it was plus 170 jobs in our client base of just less than 200 small firms. So, yeah, the focus is very much about job creation, and hopefully we can achieve more than that. But again, it's about working with the companies, but also working with the other enterprise development agencies across the county to do that.
Concerns over a lack of Garda resources in Donegal is feared to be leaving border areas vulnerable. Councillor Patrick McGowan is calling for more Garda resources to be deployed to the county following a number of serious incidents on Halloween night. A Garda patrol car was set alight outside Carndonagh Garda station, while in Killigordon it's understood fire personnel came under attack with bricks and had fireworks pointed at them while they tried to tackle fires which were started on two bridges in the Killigordon area. Councillor Patrick McGowan says the lack of Garda resources in East Donegal is unacceptable.
There has been a number of meetings with our ACTRIS members, and there's more planned to meet the superintendent and to try and raise this issue about the fact that the entire East Donegal has no Garda response. They can't investigate crime, they certainly can't prevent crime, and there's a few Garda out there doing their very, very best. But when you're covering an area from Glenfinn, Clahan, the whole way down along the border, down as far as Kerrigan's, it's just impossible. And it's either the responsibility that lies with the superintendent, the chief superintendent, or we're going to have to replace the Garda commissioner again, because they're not just doing their job. It's as simple as that.
You're saying that you warned Gardaí prior to this incident in Killigordon happening. Was it flagged on social media before it actually happened?
Yes, and there was young lads seen walking around with masks earlier in the evening with petrol cans. I know myself, I don't want to get into the details, there was certain actions taken locally here to prevent the thing being a lot worse. What's happening now this last 5 or 6 years is it set the two bridges alight, and the area one is the main Dromore bridge, goes over the River Finn, and the other one is the railway bridge. And effectively you have two estates, one a council one, one a private one, and the people, the residents there, would actually be trapped in between them if something more serious had happened.
Gardaí and Letterkenny are advising that the business park road is currently closed after a lorry caught fire and diversions are in place. Agriculture Minister Michael Creed is urging Donegal farmers who have been accepted onto the GLAS scheme to submit their nutrient management plans as quickly as possible. Mr. Creed was speaking to Chris Ashmore in an interview to be broadcast on Highland Radio's Farming News and Views programme tonight. He says the GLAS scheme has been very successful, but if farmers don't submit their nutrient management plans, they won't be paid.
Over 50,000 farmers, so almost every second farmer in the country, that would suspect that probably a higher percentage than that in your neck of the woods, are in the scheme. And one of the conditions of the scheme to get payment after the first year is you have to submit a nutrient management plan. And unfortunately, as we speak, about 5,500 of the 50,000 plus applicants have yet to submit that nutrient management plan. And that means two things. It means I can't pay them the 15% of the balance that they're due from last year, but neither can I pay them in the coming weeks the 85% of next year's payment that will be due to issue in the coming weeks.
Over 7,200 people identified as carers in Donegal in Census 2016, while almost 23,000 people in the county said they had at least one disability. There were 156 carers under 15, compared with 171 in 2011. With more details, here's Donal Kavanagh.
On census night last year, 10,366 people in Donegal indicated they had a difficulty with pain, breathing or other chronic illnesses or conditions. 2,068 indicated they had blindness or a serious visual impairment. 4,357 had deafness or a serious hearing impairment. The census also sought to identify carers, with 7,211 people stating that they provided regular unpaid personal help for a friend or family member with a long-term illness, health problem or disability. Of those, 156 were under 15 years of age. Carers provided 267,953 hours of care per week, an average of 42.6 hours per carer per week.
The Finance Minister has blamed Sinn Féin for the delay in refunding water charges. The government has failed to pass the necessary legislation in time, as it says it's had to deal with several amendments. It's now expected to go through before the end of the month, which will enable Irish Water to start issuing cheques, but it's unlikely they'll all be sent before the Christmas deadline. Pascal Donoghue says Sinn Féin owes the people an explanation.
It's the government's intention to repay back everybody their water charges as soon as possible. We have the legislation in place to do that in the Dáil. Due to the behaviour of Sinn Féin, that might now not be possible. And I hope Sinn Féin will be able to clarify to the country why their amendments are now delaying the repayment process for everybody.
Serious concern has been raised over the impact a new penalty point system will have on Donegal fishermen. It follows confirmation from Minister Michael Creed that he will sign a new statutory instrument introducing a replacement for the existing system. It's in response to a High Court judgment last year which deemed the previous system as flawed. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says this could potentially jeopardise the livelihoods of many Donegal fishermen.
The court decided no offence took place, but that the penalty points would still remain, which is a farcical situation, really, when the courts, which are the highest bodies and the land, adjudicate that no offence took place, but yet the penalty points remain in place on the fisherman's licence, and that is a very serious implication for fishermen right around the country. So the minister undertook to deal with that and to listen to those views and take those views on board, but it seems that he's going to publish the amended regulations without taking any impact or any decision in relation to that at all.
And just in terms of, in practice indeed, how will this affect Donegal fishermen?
Well, basically what this means now is that if a fisherman is prosecuted for illegal catching, say, anywhere off the coast now, and so an Irish fisherman is prosecuted there, so he would get penalty points added to his licence. And if he gets over a certain number of penalty points, his licence will be revoked for a period of maybe a year or something like that there, so he won't be able to fish at all. So he could have a situation where he's not able to fish because he has penalty points added to his licence, but he challenges the offence through the courts, and the courts find in his favour, and that's in effect no offence has taken place, but the penalty points will be in place on his licence, and he will be maybe kept ashore for a year or something like that there while the court case is ongoing.
The issue of oil spills on the roads of West Donegal is back on the agenda, with the Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District asking Gardaí for a breakdown of all accident reports involving oil spills. Councillor Micheál Colmogillo-Osbach says this will complement work already being done by Councillor John Hamish O'Farrell to bring the council and other agencies together in a bid to determine the source of the oil spills, which have been blamed for a number of crashes. Councillor Micheál-Osbach says he believes a number of them haven't been very serious and therefore were not reported to Gardaí. However, he says action is necessary before there is a more serious incident.
I think a lot of them go without being reported to the Gard, but there is a big issue here in this particular area of West Donegal. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrell has been raising this issue as well and has been in contact with other agencies, and I welcome that. But I do know that something has to be done. I'd be calling on people, particularly in around the Crawley, Annagry area, Lochinure, the Low, Gidor, to be particularly careful while driving, because there seems to be quite a lot of oil spill within that area. Something would need to happen here to try to identify where this is coming from. Now, I'm not saying that this is the remit, but maybe on the customs, council, guards, I'm not sure, that maybe they'll have to stop and try to find out over a week or two-week period of time what is causing this, because it is happening on a very regular basis. As you know yourself, Donal, I've spoken to you before about this. This has to be brought to an end, and we need to figure out why this is happening.
If those figures could be obtained from Gardaí that would show at least the reported incidents of this happening, because as you've indicated, a lot of accidents may go unreported. Patterns may emerge when the figures are collated and looked at properly, and that might provide part of the answer.
Well, I do know, because I've been speaking to the guards and that they're and hopefully come the next year or two, I'll have that report. But I do know that not all accidents are reported, and I don't think we're going to have a high figure in relation to accidents in the area. But hopefully, if all the agencies which John Hamish is bringing together do come together, we'll bring some solution as well.
New offences for bribery are to be created as part of a suite of measures to fight white-collar crime. The government has published a report targeting corruption, which will include making the Office of the Director of Corporate Enforcement an independent agency. A new bill on criminal offences will modernise corruption offences and act on recommendations from the Mahon Tribunal. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan says the maximum sentence for such offences will be 10 years and an unlimited fine.
By creating new offences of making payments knowingly or recklessly to a third party who intends to use them as bribes or kickbacks, and of using confidential information to obtain an advantage in a corrupt manner.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's Kids Midterm Sale, this week only. Gear up at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And it's 5:15, time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer news, and Arsenal will qualify for the Europa League knockout stages with victory over Red Star Belgrade tonight. Arsene Wenger's side have won all three of their group games so far. The Arsenal boss will make changes to his lineup again later, but he wants to get their progress confirmed as soon as possible.
Every game for Arsenal is a very important one, and we can qualify. We qualify as top of a group, so for me that is important, because after we can look a bit at the rest of the competition in a quieter way.
Kick-off at the Emirates tonight is 8:05. Everton there without a trio of experienced names, including Wayne Rooney, for the trip to Lyon. Kick-off on that one is at 6:00. In other news, Liverpool defender Joe Gomez has earned a first call-up to the England squad for their friendlies this month with Germany and Brazil. Also winning first call-ups are Tammy Abraham and Ruben Loftus-Cheek on loan from Chelsea at Swansea and Crystal Palace, respectively. Back here locally tonight in Ulster Senior League, there's one game down for decision. Bonagie United, they host Finharps Reserves tonight in the Ulster Senior League. Moving on to rugby, the chairman of Ireland's World Cup bid oversight board has vowed to turn their plans into reality. Dick Spring has backed the Taoiseach's statement that Ireland would not pull out of the running to host the 2023 tournament, despite suggestions from South Africa that they withdraw. World Rugby's technical review group identified South Africa as their preferred venue earlier this week, but Spring said that Ireland's bid will continue continue until the final whistle. And Ireland will open up their 2019 World Cup campaign against Scotland in Yokohama. The fixtures for the tournament, still 2 years away, were revealed today. The game against the Scots, that September the 22nd, will be followed 6 days later with a meeting with hosts Japan in Shizuoka. In other news, Ireland trio Ian Keatley and Chris Farrell and Darren Sweetnam have all been released from international duty for Munster's Pro 14 meeting with the Dragons. The latter two start in Rassie Erasmus's final game in charge, while Keatley is named on the bench. Simon Zebo and JJ Hanron, they both start, and there's a debut for South African open side Chris Colletti. Leinster, they have made 9 changes to their team for the trip to Glasgow. Jordy Murphy is the only player retained in the pack. 21-year-old Conor O'Brien, he'll make his debut in the centre. In Gaelic games, Galway's All-Ireland success has seen them further rewarded, with 7 members of their side named in this year's Hurling All-Stars. Cornerback Pádraic Mahon, centre-back Gerard McInerney and full forwards Conor Whelan and Conor Cooney are all first-time All-Stars. Dahi Burke, David Burke and Joe Canning, they round out the Galway contingent. All-Ireland finalists Waterford received 5 All-Stars, with goalkeeper Stephen O'Keefe earning a first. The Football All-Stars will be revealed at Dublin's Convention Centre tomorrow night. And Setanta, back locally, Setanta have 2 big injury concerns ahead of this Sunday's Ulster Junior Hurling Championship final against Namah of Derry at McCool Park in Ballybofey. Star player Declan Coulter, a former inter-county hurler with Armagh, is nursing a calf injury, while Donegal senior player Niall Cleary is trying to shake off a hamstring injury. Both Setanta and Namah have lost twice in the final of this competition over the past 10 years, so for one of them it'll be a case of third time lucky. Moving on to golf, the European Tour this week, it's the Turkish Airlines Open. Pádraic Harrington had an excellent round of 65 today. He sits 1 shot off the leaders and 6 under par. He's 1 behind Hayden Porteous, Nicholas Kolsarts, Jost Luton. They're all in 7 under par. 3 behind is Paul Dunne. He shot a 4 under par round of 67. After today's round, Pádraic Harrington said he was pleased with how he played.
Played nicely, didn't really get in trouble at any stage during the day, wasn't really out of position, so a nice number of chances, converted a few of them, and it was pretty easy, 6 under par, yeah, I wish they were all like that.
And in the PGA Tour this week, it's the Shriners Hospital for Children's Open taking place. Graham McDowell and Seamus Power are the Irish representatives. They tee off later on. Leading the way at the moment in the early stages is JJ Spaun, Ryan Blum and Billy Horschel. They're all on 4 under par, just into their back 9 of their first round. Finally, for this evening, the Donegal Derry Vipers American football team. They're recruiting for next season. They were formed in 2014. The club has gone from strength to strength. They currently play in the second tier of American football in Ireland. For more information, you can go to their website at ddvipers.com. That's ddvipers.com. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. The issue of fodder shortage in the Northwest is continuing to intensify. That's according to a report in the Irish Farmers Journal, highlighting the fodder shortage in Donegal, with some stock now housed for 2 months. While fears among farmers about the length of this coming winter and the shortage of feed supplies are also continuing to escalate. Katrina Doherty is Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal.
It first hit farmers on the wettest, on the heaviest land, back as long ago as July, but we are confirmed in winter now in all parts of the country, even the lightest and the driest parts, which means that farmers in Leitrim, Donegal, Cavan, Monaghan, you know, Longford, those heavier, wetter areas are really, I suppose, facing into an extremely long winter at this stage. You never know what spring is going to bring, and they've already been housing and feeding cattle for quite a while.
And what are the options for these farmers if the fodder should run out?
So I suppose the first option would be to, your first port of call is to assess what you have, both in terms of stock numbers and fodder stocks, and then look at your options. So there are 2 ways. One, I suppose, is to reduce your feed demand. So it may be things like looking at whether you should be culling a couple of cows that you might be doing in spring anyway. Would you bring that forward to now so that you don't have that extra feed demand? If there is parts of the farm, of course, that would still be maybe grazable, that you could put the lighter stock or keep the lighter stock out on those. And then it's a matter of looking at fodder prices and concentrate prices and weighing up what makes sense.
38 properties in Gidor have signed up to be part of the initial pilot phase of the long-awaited surge scheme. It follows a recent meeting between Irish Water and local residents in which the utility agreed to waive the previously proposed connection fee for all those participating in the pilot project. It also appears likely that the company intends to extend the coverage area for the scheme once fully operational in order to include an additional number of properties. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says it's a welcome development.
For 40 years, we in Gidor have been talking about the Gidor Surge Scheme. We've been promised the Gidor Surge Scheme, but finally, it appears that we're actually going to have delivery of the Gidor Surge Scheme. And this has come about as not by coincidence. It's come about because myself and MEP Matt Carthy took a case to the European Commission, and the Commission agreed with us and threatened Ireland with legal action if they didn't deliver the scheme. So I'm delighted that there is such a level of interest that the surge scheme is progressing at an advanced stage, and we're expecting to see a contractor appointed in the new year for the demonstration project, and likely that in the first quarter of 2018 that we will see actually shovels in the ground.
Another positive development that seems to have come from the meeting is that the utility is looking like that it will extend the coverage of the scheme once it is fully operational.
Yes, there's a number of things that we've been discussing with Irish Water. One is that they would take in a number of additional properties, and that appears now likely that they will do so. The second thing is that there should be no connection fee, because this is the first time that such a system will be used anywhere on the island of Ireland. The third thing is we want to make sure that the scheme is delivered in a way that will be able to be expanded in the future. So we're making serious progress on all three fronts.
For weather now, mostly cloudy for the rest of today with light breezes and dry apart from isolated patches of light drizzle, with lowest temperatures tonight of 5 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, serious concern has been raised over the impact of a new penalty point system will have on Donegal fishermen. It follows confirmation from Minister Michael Cree that he will sign a new statutory instrument introducing a replacement for the existing system. The Finance Minister has blamed Sinn Féin for the delay in refunding water charges. The government has failed to pass the necessary legislation in time, as it says it's had to deal with several amendments. Concerns over a lack of Garda resources in Donegal is feared to be leaving border areas vulnerable. Councillor Patrick McGowan is calling for more Garda resources to be deployed to the county following a number of serious incidents on Halloween night. And it's envisaged that up to 400 jobs will be created in Donegal as a result of the new local enterprise development plan, which is being published next week. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, you can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Good evening.
The breach notices for this Thursday evening, the 2nd of November. The death has occurred in Glasgow of John O'Donnell, John Nelly, Glasgow, and formerly of Upper Cadieu, Burton Port. His remains are reposing at his late residence in Glasgow. Funeral from there tomorrow to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Cardonald, arriving at 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock with burial afterwards in St Conville's Cemetery. All inquiries to Anderson Maguire Funeral Directors, Glasgow. The death has taken place at Longfield Care Home Eglinton of Anna Fagan, née Harrigan, formerly of Central Drive, Creggan. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St Eugene's Cathedral on tomorrow Friday at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the City Cemetery. The death has taken place of Sue Broad, Bromley House, The Lag, Milford, and formerly of Stoke-on-Trent, England. Funeral service in Rye Community Centre on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Tully Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Jigsaw Donegal, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors, or any family member. The death has occurred at the Donegal Hospice of Bernard Fuller, Hillcroft, Arda, St Johnson. His remains will repose at Kelly's Funeral Home, Oakfield Raffoe, this evening. Respects may be paid from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Private cremation will take place at Lakeland's crematorium, Cavan, tomorrow. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of Kelly Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Rafoe. The death has taken place at Knockmoyle Lodge, Oma, of Kathleen Peoples, née Dunion, 66 Bridge Street, Strabane, formerly of Lower Main Street, Strabane. Her remains will repose at her daughter Catherine Peoples' home at 12 Evish Grove, Strabane, this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Knockmoyle Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred at Dunloe District Hospital of Frances Brennan, the Diamond, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahery Cemetery. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. And the death has occurred at St. Eunan's Nursing Home, Letterkenny, of Nellie Doherty, née Toland, Coolatee, Lifford, formerly of Termon. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St. Eunan's Nursing Home, Letterkenny, care of Kelly Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Rafoe, or any family member.